I know, you know, which way the wind blows. I know that home tunnel. I know what the fans are going to sound like. I'm not going to be thinking about 20 years of history.
And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions!
The dynasty not done yet.
We've played it other times, you know, without Tom.
When you get yourself in a situation like this, you got to take advantage of it.
Bucs win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, you are the man. You are the GOAT.
I'm not going to necessarily reminisce. I'll have plenty of opportunities to reminisce about my football career.
If they know anything about me, they're going to know that I'm going out there to try to win the football game.
Welcome to NFL Live, presented by DraftKings. And week four begins tonight with Jaguars and Bengals, couple number one overall picks, and Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence on either side. But as we begin our show, a lot on that coming later, but the latest coming right now from Bill Belichick. He's preparing to welcome Tom Brady into town. You got Keyshawn Johnson here. You've yay. Got Marcus Spears and Adam Schefter there, and Dan Orlovsky right here. Did you just say yay, Key?
He's so got a V for victory.
Yeah, exactly. All right, but Jeff Darlington joins us from Tampa, where Tom Brady spoke earlier today about his return to Foxborough. Jeff, what did he have to say?
Well, Laura, I'm going to leave it up to you when you hear Tom Brady speak about whether you believe that he truly is going to treat this like any other game where he's just got to beat any other opponent, or maybe he's just the best in the world at compartmentalizing the drama that he's about to ensue in New England, or maybe he's just lying to us all. You be the judge.
I'm just excited to go up there and try to beat a really great football team. That's ultimately what this week's about. It's not about the quarterback. It's not about, you know, the fans or the home crowd or relationships of 20 years. It's about two good football teams going at it. And we've got to do a great job. You know, it's going to be a huge test. I still have a lot of great friends there, but they know I want to kick their butt this week. So they'll know exactly how I'm feeling once I'm out there.
I think it's probably, you know, most difficult to play against them. I think preparing is one thing. I think playing is a whole nother thing.
Well, for those of you who are wondering, is this what Tom Brady's saying? Is it real? I provide to you Exhibit A, his voice. Bruce Arians had the speakers on high blast today. Brady saying that he was shouting so loud that he lost his voice by the end of practice. In fact, had to cut the press conference short because his voice had gotten so hoarse. So it seems to me like they're treating this game like it's going to be a pretty big deal, no matter what one Tom Brady says.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jeff, I mean, I'm not sure when I can remember hearing a raspy Tom Brady or a Brady that sounds like that. So thanks for the latest from Tampa. Don't forget to tune into Jeff's one-on-one conversation with Tom Brady on Sunday NFL Countdown. That's Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. They will be in Foxborough. And it's no big secret that the key to beating Brady is getting pressure, right? Since joining the Bucs last season, Brady ranks among the worst quarterbacks in the league in QBR completion percentage and touchdown to interception ratio when pressured. This Sunday, he'll be going against a Patriots team that ranks fourth in the league in pressure percentage and sack rate this season. They're led by their new star linebacker, Matthew Judon. You'll hear what he had to say about Tom Brady a little bit later on in the show. But Marcus, what will Belichick's plan for Brady and this Bucs offense look like on Sunday?
Yeah, that's how my voice sounds after my daughter's volleyball tournament. So I feel Tom on that
you,
one.
Dad, like.
Listen, it's pressure and simulated pressure because he understands, Bill Belichick understands that Tom Brady will get you if he identifies what you're doing pre-snap. And I got a couple of examples of that from what New England is already doing. They're causing simulated pressure. They give you a look at the line of scrimmage. This is five guys up at the line of scrimmage, but only four are going to come. And they are going to come in the center of the pocket. This will be intentional against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we all know why, because Tom Brady, this is his arch nemesis. But this is his answer. They have to cover these checkdowns. Here, you see a kind of an off-script alignment Tom Brady is trying to decipher. They pick the interior and they get that pressure again up the center of the pocket. Bill Belichick is going to try to create this. This is what you call getting the quarterback off the spot. Brady will look at that outlet. That backer has to be able to come up and make a tackle. This is a third down. It's about getting off the field. It's not about trying to make a big play. It's not about thinking you're going to dance after you sack Tom Brady. It's about getting off the field on third down. You want to create pressure in the center of the pocket and take away those easy access throws as best as you can, and that gives you an opportunity to win this football game.
Swagger, we talk about the pressure all the time when we mention Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. That goes hand in hand. Tom Brady is going to be in a little bit of trouble this week, I believe, because one of the things that Bill wants to do is take away that best option that he has. The problem is he's got about four or five of them. Which one, though? Is it a Gronkowski? Is it a Fournette? Is it a Godwin? Is it
Antonio
AB
Brown,
coming back?
Right?
Who is it, Laura? But if you look at the history of Bill Belichick, when he played against high explosive octane offenses, he's identified the guy that he believes is the best guy and not like everybody else. We may think it's Gronkowski. He may think something else. And this is a copycat league. We steal each other's plays. They look at the Rams game plan from a week ago. How did that work out? Worked out well for him. So it'll be interesting. This year alone, Bill Belichick is heavily involved in the defense opposed to the last several years.
Yeah, so the greatest defensive mind in the history of the NFL, how do you slow down an offense that doesn't really have any weaknesses? You know, pointed out all the weapons, but also the offensive line is spectacular. I had a different thought process going into the segment because after watching Marcus's tape and hearing Marcus say, well, that's third and seven, and it's not about necessarily making a big play, it's about getting off the field, and it made me think, Bill's philosophy is going to be, I don't care about yards. You want to go 20 to 20? I don't care about yards. And I don't think there's going to be this extravagant plan from the Patriots defense really in the, again, 20 to 20. But I think he is going to unload in the red zone.
Yeah.
Because the reality is if they hold this team to 20 points, they got a shot, right? And so I think the detailed game plan could be something like we saw with the Rams Super Bowl from a couple years ago where he put all those bodies at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And it was, we're going to stop the play action, react to run, specifically down in that red zone area.
Well, that goes to what I just said about high-octane offenses. You think about Sean McVay, go all the way back to the Marshall Faulk Super Bowl.
Right.
You think about the years of the Indianapolis Colts and Peyton Manning and Marshall and Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison and those guys.
Right.
They know what to do when people have multiple weapons. I believe that strongly.
He just did this last year against the Buffalo Bills and the Chiefs. He just did it.
Right.
Bill Belichick did it last year with a bad football team.
He took them to the end of the game. So, you know? Stephon,
Gilmore
that helps,
is not
right?
out
you
there.
You can play all that man coverage.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It does make you think, as you guys are talking about Bill sort of targeting the red zone as where he's really going to defend, maybe that's more on Rob Gronkowski, picks out Gronk because he's been so crucial in the red zone, but lots of weapons either way. All right, we'll get more on this game, don't you worry. But, Adam, we're keeping an eye on some big names and their availability for this one. Take us through what you know, starting with Rob Gronkowski, who has a homecoming of his own this weekend.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned him being taken out of the red zone, but right now he's been taken out of practice each of the last 2 days. No practice for Gronk after taking this big shot on Sunday against the Los Angeles Rams. Went out of the game, came back in. The initial x-rays were negative. Further tests, we'll see how it goes this week with Gronk. But again, no practice Wednesday and Thursday. We'll see what happens Friday. Antonio Brown activated off the reserve COVID list. So this is, I would say, a homecoming, except he's never played a home game for the Patriots, even though he played for the Patriots for 1 week. So it's sort of a homecoming for Antonio Brown as he returns to New England to play against the Patriots. And as for James White, he's expected to be out for the remainder of the year with this hip injury that he sustained Sunday during the loss against the Saints. The players came over. You saw how concerned they were with his injury and his absence, but James White now will be done for the season, a loss in the Patriots' backfield. And the Buccaneers running back, Giovanni Bernard, has a sprained MCL. Didn't seem too serious, so there's a chance that Giovanni Bernard could wind up going on Sunday night.
And for Mac Jones in a game where you know this Bucs defense wants to try to get right against him, tough to have James White not out there. Thanks to Adam. More from him coming later on the show. Also coming on NFL Live, after an impressive win on Monday night, can Dallas continue its success on offense against a top-tier defense in Carolina? One of the toughest tests, if not the toughest test, they've faced all season long. What does Dak do against the Panthers? And it's a showdown tonight in Cincinnati between the last two number one overall picks, Burrow versus Lawrence. What do we need to know about this? It's a rematch of the 2020 College Football Playoff National Championship. NFL Live is presented by DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And in part by Walt Disney World Resort. The 50th anniversary celebration begins October 1st. You messing with the cake.
Mary.
Pre-game HQ is brought to you by Domino's. Order something for everyone with Domino's Mix and Match menu. Order online and track your order.
If you're not striving for a championship, for perfection, what are you doing it for?
Whatever it takes, you know, that's how I think of it.
Myself and Trevor are the two best in the game right now.
We win this game in New Orleans, we've earned it, there's no doubt.
He's never lost.
Tigers versus the Tigers for the title.
Go Tigers!
Burrow gonna launch downfield for Chase. Who's got it? Burrow flips it far side. Touchdown!
Clemson's on the ropes right now.
Burrow looking for the kill shot. Touchdown!
Burrow said, time to fit me for that ring.
LSU sits on the throne of college football. Win the Heisman, perfect season, national championship.
With the first pick in the 2020-2021 NFL Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals,
the Jacksonville Jaguars select
Joe Burrow, quarterback, LSU.
Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson.
And college football fans will remember that Burrow-Lawrence matchup from the title game back in 2020. Let's check in now at the Domino's pregame headquarters as we welcome in Jeremy Fowler from Cincinnati. And Jeremy, it's been a bit of a rough start, right, for Trevor Lawrence and the winless Jags. But what are his teammates saying about the number one overall pick as they play tonight?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Laura, Trevor is a winner. Those are the exact words from defensive end Josh Allen when I asked him about Lawrence's 0-3 start. Allen said, look, Lawrence doesn't care about back-to-back number one picks playing against each other or what Burrow did at LSU to Lawrence's Clemson Tigers in the national title game. The guy just wants to get a W for us. He was 86-4 in high school and college, which is a crazy record, so they believe he's just going to figure this out eventually. But the feeling after talking to coaches and players is, look, we have to play mistake-free football around Lawrence. They know he can make the splash play, the wow play, but they want to give him some more manageable third downs, some shorter throws, a little more play action, a little more solidified running game. Expect to see all those options tonight.
Jeremy, I like the sounds of that for Lawrence. As for Burrow, now in year two, right, no longer a rookie, how vocal is he with his coaches and teammates?
Well, Bengals coaches are basically letting him just go do his thing. He has taken full ownership of the offense. I heard this great example last week in Pittsburgh. During a break in the action, Burrow walked over to coach Zach Taylor, said, I want a go ball to Ja'Marr Chase here. Next play, he got his go ball to Chase in the end zone. And so the word out of Cincinnati is that Burrow's feeling liberated right now off the ACL. They love that he's moving around, trying to shake dudes in the open field because his game is all about toughness. So the fact that he's actually willing to run and scramble shows that he is totally removed from that ACL rehab.
Yeah, I love to hear it. And just about 4 hours away from kickoff of week four in the NFL, thanks so much to Jeremy Fowler for joining us. And we heard Jeremy mention Ja'Marr Chase. So here's a look at his impact in heat map form. Check this out. Burrow has connected with Chase on three passes, 30 plus yards downfield. His average completion to his former college teammate, 15 yards past the line of scrimmage. His furthest completion to anyone else is just 17 yards downfield, while the average connection is under 5 yards. So, Dan and Keith, what does the tape say about the Burrow-Chase connection?
Well, the drafting of Ja'Marr Chase was justified because coming out of draft, Keith was like, you could put him out there as a receiver and he can go beat man coverage. Third down the other day, he ran a route and I was like, man, that was so sweet. Now, I want everyone to see it. That's Ja'Marr Chase at the top. It's third down. You're going to get a certain coverage from Pittsburgh. This is going to be an easy completion for Joe Burrow. I want to rewind it because so everybody at home knows the coverage from Pittsburgh is two man. That safety's got a half the field. Key, you know this. This corner right here, his job is to play inside leverage in two man, meaning he's going to be trailing Ja'Marr Chase in between the receiver and the quarterback. And the big thing is to never allow the receiver to win inside. So, Key, my question to you, what's the most important thing for Ja'Marr Chase at the line of scrimmage to beat that man coverage?
Well, he knows automatically that this corner is a potato, which means he's raw. All you got to do is stab him and get outside, keep your leverage. Now you run it off the safety.
Now teach me that. Why do you mean running it off that safety and not the corner who's got him in man coverage?
He's a french fry. He's cooked. Don't worry about him. I can't feel him. My eyes goes directly to the safety. And now I can do what I need to do.
Okay. Now, there's that out route right there. That's perfect. Now, Key, you want to tell everybody at home a little bit of something that you want to see Ja'Marr Chase do better for the future.
And it will happen for the future. Once he got to here, okay. Continue to keep pushing. Push.
You want him to push a little bit more.
Now take a higher angle and allow your quarterback to bring you back down. Give room, leave room for error. Don't allow him to lead to throw the ball out of bounds. So if you leave room for error, he's got all that space for you. See how close that is to the sideline?
Yeah.
I don't like that. But it'll happen over time.
Let me ask you a question, though. Do you think he did this because he won so much at the top? Do you think Ja'Marr Chase is like, wait, I left the corner so early I can flatten it off?
Absolutely. Very hungry to get the meal. He got the meal now, right?
Okay.
He got it. He's
now, I love that, Jeremy. This is the Jeremy Fowler go route. And I love that he talked about it because this is what stood out to me on Key on this one, because this is the girl Joe Burrow asked for. Now, Joe Burrow was already 1-2-3 in the shotgun, put his foot in the ground. His ball was snapped at about the 35-yard line. Ja'Marr's at about the 25-yard line, but this is what stood out to me, Key. That corner is still 3 or 4 yards on top of Ja'Marr Chase. How can Joe Burrow already be letting go of that football?
Well, 1,000 reps, all the way back to LSU, offseason, all trust.
Okay.
So we've done this a million times together. Plus, I know at about 15 to 20, I'm going to throw it. You go get it. That's all I need you to do. If it's close, knock it down. Otherwise, make a play on it.
That's such a big deal to me that Joe Burrow can go, all right, I want the go route. And we often hear the phrase, if he's even, he's leaving. But I want everyone to understand, like, that ball is out of his hands.
Go get it.
That ball is out of his hands. That is not even. That corner is in a bail technique and running. This is what was impressive to me the most. Not only the ball comes out. All right, he's at the 22-yard line. The DB's at about the 20. You want to talk about closing speed, Key. This is that trust. Within 20 yards, he goes from 2 yards behind the corner to 2 yards past the corner. So very much so on the same page, being able to beat man coverage, but also that trust level of, hey, I'm going to let my guy go make a play.
He got the french fries, the meal, and the dessert.
Value menu.
You guys are making me hungry. Let's get Marcus back in here as we pick this game tonight. And Dan and Key have actually already submitted their selection. They're both going with the Bengals. Marcus, who do you have?
Yeah. I have the Cincinnati Bengals too, L Boogie, 31-17. And listen, a part of it is that connection, but I think we need to pay some attention to what the Cincinnati Bengals are doing from a defensive standpoint. This defensive line is getting after people, and they're making plays on the back end as well. And I want to acknowledge those guys, because when we start talking about complete teams, let alone in this division with Baltimore and obviously the Buffalo Bills, you're going to need to bring everything. And I think the Cincinnati Bengals are trending in that direction. Confident in the offense, this defense is starting to come along as well.
This is a little tough for me because I feel like at some point this season, the Jaguars are going to put it together. It's not going to be tonight, though. I'm picking the Bengals as well. A lot of it has to do with that Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase connection that everybody's been talking about. And, in fact, Joe Burrow has a 99 QBR in connecting with Ja'Marr Chase this year. He has a 39 QBR with anybody else. I think that's the big key. By the way, SBI agrees with us. Yeah, it's really good. They're giving Cincinnati a 69% chance of winning this one tonight at home. We got more coming your way on NFL Live.
With the computers.
Yeah, well, that's always kind of scary for us, though, by the way. Reinforcements are on the way for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense. It's been a shaky start, but they're going to get some guys back. We'll talk about it next on NFL Live. Hey, you're watching NFL Live, presented by DraftKings.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Setting your lineup, every decision matters and every point counts. So don't leave it to chance. Leave it to Watson. IBM Watson determines which players are most likely to exceed their fantasy projections on any given week. And you can find these boom and bust calculations right in the player cards. So turn your tough decisions into easy ones with IBM Watson's boom and bust analysis. Go to ESPN.com/FFL or download the ESPN Fantasy app now to get started.
Monday Night Football is back this week as Derek Carr and the undefeated Las Vegas Raiders are in L.A. taking on Justin Herbert and the Chargers, who just beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Our celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month continues 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Monday Night Countdown kicks off coverage at 6 Eastern.
Paired up at Pebble Beach, they're on the sixth hole. Big Cliff. Bill Belichick looks over, sees Tom Brady on the ledge, trying to hit the ball. Seeing the caddy holding Brady so he won't tumble 300 feet to his death into the Pacific Ocean, Belichick is processing why his quarterback is putting his life on the line. Tom, it's a golf ball. What the hell are you doing? That's how competitive Brady is.
Oh, some story time with Mike Reese as we welcome him in from Foxborough. I think you did those illustrations too. Mike, everyone in the stadium will have their eyes on Brady this Sunday, and that includes the Patriots defense. What are they saying about his return?
Well, Laura, you know, Patriots players have been asked a lot of questions about Tom Brady over the last couple days. And today, for Matt Judon, one of their best defensive players, a sixth straight question on the topic was maybe a bit too much, and his frustration showed.
Bro, he's the next quarterback we got to play. You know, they also got two other quarterbacks on the roster. You know, I know he was in his building for a long time, and what he's done could never be taken away from the game of football and what he did, but it's not like we're afraid of what Tom Brady can do. You know, we have to stop their whole offense. Tom Brady is a great quarterback, and nobody can take away what he did. But that's not, I mean, we're not here to talk about that right now. Like, we have to play the game. And we have to stop him from winning a football game.
One thing other Patriots defenders said they were looking forward to, Laura, was the chance to finally hit Brady. Remember, when they were going up against him in practice, Brady had that red non-contact jersey on. Sunday night, there's no red non-contact jerseys that are going to be on the field.
Yeah, Brady's probably like, oh, no, I'm very familiar with how these guys play, and now they can finally hit me. Thanks so much, Mike Reese, for joining us there from Foxborough ahead of the game of the week in the NFL. We appreciate you. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here. There are some big names on the injury report this week. Let's start off in Chicago. What do we know about the quarterback situation at this point, Adam?
Well, Lord, Justin Fields was a full participant in practice despite the fact that he suffered a thumb injury. Andy Dalton, who's coming off the bone bruise in his knee, was limited during practice. We'll see what Matt Nagy ultimately decides to do. The Bears quarterbacks are not scheduled to speak to the media until Friday, so the Bears are holding back their quarterbacks from making any public comments, and we'll see what the public decision turns out to be for Sunday's game against Detroit. Meanwhile, the Titans were without both their top two wide receivers during practice today. No practice for A.J. Brown. Hamstring, no practice for Julio Jones. Neither player practice, which means that the Titans could be relying on a makeshift set of wide receivers for Sunday's game. And in the interim, also, the Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson also did not practice for a second straight day due to a back issue. Now, the Ravens have said it's not a big deal. They think they're just being careful. But it is notable as they get ready for Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos that Lamar Jackson now has missed two straight days of practice, and we'll see what his status is on Friday, Laura.
Yeah, your point, Adam, about the Broncos, it's an uphill climb for the Ravens here as we await word on Lamar's status for Sunday. It is worth noting that he might be getting a new target to throw to, right? Rashad Bateman returning to practice this week. His presence could be huge. Also, Miles Boykin back. This season, Baltimore's wide receivers have an 11.8% drop rate. That's the worst rate by any wide receiver group in the NFL. In fact, it's 3% worse than the next closest unit. Some of that has to do with what Hollywood Brown, unfortunately, did last week. But, Key, how important is it to get a piece like Rashad Bateman back for Lamar in this offense? Bateman, for those who may not remember, is a do-it-all receiver and really does bring a lot to this offense potentially.
It's important
because it helps them grow. But it's not to the point where it's all panic. Yes, they dropped some, but they got to catch the damn ball. It's not, we started off by saying, be quiet.
Heard that before.
We started off, well, it was throwing me the damn ball, not catch the damn ball. That wasn't an issue, smarty pants over there, Dan. Oh. But it wasn't, we moved the goalposts on these things, right, Dan? At first it was, we need to evolve the passing game, this, that, and the other. He's delivering the football to the guys. He's doing those things. They just got to catch it. They got to catch it. So maybe Bateman catches it, and we don't look up and see him dropping balls.
Keith, I love you.
Why? Just catch
it. He's just got to catch it?
Catch it. They get open and catch it.
Of course.
Catch it.
In the last two seasons, Hollywood Brown is third in the NFL in drops.
You got to catch the ball. Dan, that wasn't the issue. Everybody was complaining about the passing game evolving for him. The passing game is fine. There's nothing wrong.
No, it's not.
It is. He just got to catch the ball.
This man's missing practice because his back hurts because he has to carry the offense so much.
Good one.
This is, and we're saying it's fine. That we're talking about, I said this when the injuries presented themselves. The context of the Ravens matters. We're not talking about how does the Jaguars passing game get a little bit better. We're talking about a team that has a very finite Super Bowl window under the contract that Lamar is playing. Because this offseason, he's going to get a ton of money. So we're talking about a team that's got Super Bowl expectations. He has one person that he can be comfortable with throwing the ball. Like, if I'm Lamar, Mark Andrews is the only guy I'm throwing the football to. I love you, Hollywood, but you got to stop dropping the football.
But,
so to say it's like only chance they have.
Dan, we was here last year. What were we talking about? We were talking about the passing game. They don't throw enough on this down.
They scored 19 against the Lions.
But they're doing that. They got to catch the damn ball.
But
the passing game, the passing game is fine.
Keyshawn, they're not.
But so here's the thing. So, Marcus, opposing defenses know that Mark Andrews is probably the number one target here for Lamar as well. Has Lamar ever had a real number one, Swagoo?
Boogie.
No.
Boogie, you ain't got to tee me up. I'm going
to
address Keyshawn Johnson.
Thank you.
I'm going to address Keyshawn Johnson because sometimes he forgets that we played together. Ooh. And let me tell y'all what Keyshawn Johnson would have did if somebody would have dropped three passes. He would have went to the sideline and said, get him the hell out of here and get somebody else in here that can catch the ball. That's what we hoping Bateman does for this football team. That's what we hope happens because the bottom line is this, Keith.
Yeah.
Realistically, like you and Dan got y'all thing, but I've been screaming for the Ravens to have a reliable guy outside of Mark Andrews. And I'm just hoping that is what Bateman provides. Marquise Brown can get open. Marquise Brown does some good things when the ball is in his hands. Lamar needs a reliable guy that can make plays when it's not clean, when he's not wide open. And that's why I think this is a big move with him coming back, because this is what we saw from Bateman at Minnesota. He was a 50-50 ball guy. He was open, and he was able to create after the catch. Lamar needs this beyond Mark Andrews in order for this offense to evolve.
So quickly, against a Broncos defense that is going to give him some trouble at times, is this something where you think Bateman could just sort of roll right into this offense? What are the challenges there with him coming back just this week?
Everything that I've heard during training camp is that he's for real. Like, he's a real receiver. And they like him. They like his ability. And Lamar relied on him. And when he left the lineup, it became one of those deals where the only guy he could throw to was Mark Andrews in practice. Now you see Hollywood Brown, he's dropping balls, all those sort of things. And I hate to go back to this, but we talked till we turned blue in the face about their passing game being able to evolve. It's evolved. They just got to figure out who needs to catch the damn ball.
But that's why the return of –
And that's fine.
Yeah, that's why Bateman matters, because quarterbacks want two things as a wide receiver. You know this. Get open and catch the ball. Yeah. Get open and catch the ball. So, Hollywood, I don't care if you're getting open.
Yeah, he catches the ball.
So, eventually, a quarterback's going to be checked out, and I guarantee you.
He's out there
Lamar's
dropping
thinking,
Bentleys and everything
I'm happy
else.
To get him back because maybe he'll catch it.
All right, so next week.
I like QB wide receiver fights.
Yeah, it's fun. Next week, when Bateman has a whole bunch of catches, you're going to put him on the key wagon, and we'll keep track of that. But speaking of the wagons, we got the Dan wagon coming up. And look, we got our own show ponies in studio. Look at these guys.
Look how horses.
Those horses are going kind of slow. Can we speed them up? Anybody go a little faster?
Find me a better production than this one.
Horse kind of made Dan a little bit, I would say.
Boys.
Look at these ponies.
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by DraftKings. Who do you love so much this week that you're putting them on the Dan wagon?
Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen has been so good.
Fires into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo!
I have to talk about Justin Herbert. They have unlocked him being confident. The White Tiger himself, Rob Gronkowski.
Holy guacamole!
My man Travis Kelce is on the Dan wagon.
Who else is he putting on the wagon? Dan, last week you put Teddy Bridgewater on the Dan wagon. Who joins him there today?
Shockingly, Keyshawn spoke glowingly of Teddy this. I feel like this guy actually is the most likely to hop on a actual wagon. I am going to put on Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. Now, Kirk is balling. It's easy to ball. I don't want to say it's easy to ball, but it makes it a lot easier to join the wagon when you got receivers like he does. Justin Jefferson is absolutely unbelievable. Thielen, listen, this route by Thielen is filth. It's gross. Rhythm, post in a red zone, sets the defender, crosses his face. You're going to see it from the right side of the screen. Just an absolute perfect throw by Kirk Cousins. He's playing incredible. Watch this route. Oh, my goodness. Put him on skates. Defensive back, sorry to do that to you. Kirk Cousins is the only quarterback in the NFL with 8 touchdown passes and no interceptions. Kirk Cousins from the Minnesota Vikings is top 5 in QBR. He's top 5 in completion percentage, and he's top 5 in touchdown passes. Very quietly, Kirk Cousins is kind of putting together an MVP type of resume. They're one play away from being 2-1. This season, we'd be talking about them a lot more. He is playing incredible football. He is on the Dan wagon.
Woo-hoo! Hey, our show pony agrees. Can you hear him? He makes sound effects. All right, we'll see you on the Dan wagon next week. I'm keeping this pony. We got a whole lot more that we got to get to. Let's get back to the game of the week. And this one all about Tom Brady returning to Foxborough. The much-anticipated matchup of Bucs-Pats finally on us. Layers of emotion, storylines, the actual game, right? I keep thinking about those videos that we're going to see of Tom Brady coming out of the tunnel and onto the field. And here's more from Brady today.
Obviously, I understand the opponent, and I know all those guys. They're some of my great friends. They will be for the rest of my life. So I know a lot of coaches, players, the owners, the staff. It'll be great to see everyone after the game, but up until game, I'm focused on trying to go win a football game.
For those of you wondering why Tom Brady is so hoarse there, Jeff Darlington reported earlier that he was yelling so much he lost his voice. I think this week matters. Adam Schefter, you had the chance to sit down with some of Brady's former teammates on your podcast this week. What was the most interesting thing you learned?
Well, Laura, we know that a lot of people never could have imagined the day that Tom Brady would play in another city, in another uniform other than New England. But Teddy Bruschi, his former teammate, our colleague at ESPN, actually envisioned that day a while back, and he talked about it on the Adam Schefter podcast.
I remember being in a limo, not a limo, but like an SUV with Tom, and we were talking about just the whole Patriots career and Bill and all of that stuff. And I remember telling him, you know, the odds are good that you probably won't finish in New England. And this had to be 6 or 7 years ago. And that was just me sort of like, like a moment of like, you know, the way it's gone with Bill in the past and learning Tom and his goal of his longevity. I'm like, well, I don't know if that's going to happen.
What was his reaction when you told him that, Teddy?
He did not disagree. And I think we both knew that it was a high possibility of happening.
So there you have it, Laura. Obviously, Teddy Bruschi saw it coming. Tom Brady saw it coming. Some other people might not have seen it coming, but they did. And it's such a big event now that for the first time in Patriots franchise history, the Today Show and the NBC Nightly News set are going to be stationed in Gillette Stadium on Friday prior to an upcoming Patriots game in lieu of the matchup of Tom returning home.
That's absolutely incredible. It's also a really expensive ticket, by the way. Check out the Adam Schefter podcast. Great stuff there. Time now for some DraftKings predictions. Let's stay on this game. Key, will Tom Brady throw three or more touchdowns this Sunday?
Oh, Laura, why you put me in this position?
Sorry.
I think he will not. I think it's about two, because it's going to be a low-scoring game, all the hype behind it. You know how these things go. Everything is built up, then all of a sudden you look up and it's a 17-9 game, and everybody's like, oh, hey, he gets two.
You might have given Tom Brady some motivation there, Kate. Marcus, will the Pats defense sack Brady two or more times in his return to Foxborough?
Yeah, but I believe they get to him at least two times. I think he'll be under duress enough, and they'll take away that quick outlet throw. And they won't hit him hard. He'll just duck under and somebody will tap him on his back shoulder and it'll count as a sack. Bill will have him hold the ball for a couple times or a few times in this game where these guys will be able to get home.
Coming up on NFL Live, can the number one defense in the NFL simmer down Dak and the Cowboys? Carolina loves bringing pressure and Dak is great against the blitz. Which one will give this weekend? We'll tell you next.
DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this Sunday only, new players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code NFLLive. Where I lay my head
is home, yeah. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Live is presented by DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL.
Sunday NFL Countdown is hitting the road and taking you live to Gillette Stadium as Tom Brady returns to battle Bill Belichick.
Let's go!
Plus, an exclusive one-on-one interview with the greatest of all time.
Played there, I know it. I know what I'm facing. It was 20 incredible years that shaped me and taught me so much.
Just do your job.
It all kicks off Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern.
Live on ESPN.
Glad you're watching NFL Live. This Sunday, the NFC South's first place Panthers face the NFC East's first place Cowboys in Jerry World. And Sam Darnold's going to look to continue his hot start with Carolina. Through three games this season, he ranks sixth in the league in total QBR. On the other side of things, Dak Prescott leading the league in completion percentage. He's completing over 80% of his passes in each of Dallas's last two games. Wowzers. ESPN's Football Power Index favors the Cowboys in this one, giving Dallas just a 58% chance to win, though, so definitely close. Dan, this is such an interesting one, but how tough of a matchup is this Panthers defense for Dak, as he's really flourished against the defenses he's seen so far this season?
But this will be the best defensive line in totality that this Dallas Cowboys offense has seen this year. I think a huge part for this game for Dallas offensively is trying to win the early downs, because if you get into a passing situation, this blitz package from Carolina is going to come after you. And it's not just a Brian Burns off the edge. It's the internal pressure. It's secondary people coming. It's communication off the edges. It's having everybody on your offensive line, all five guys understanding. And this isn't going to be something that Dallas can necessarily dictate, right? We've seen this team get to the line of scrimmage and do what they wanted per what the defense was giving you. But if you don't win on first down and be very productive, you get into those obvious passing situations. They're going to have to handle movement from Carolina's defense. You know what I'm saying, Marcus? Like that movement that we saw against the Saints in their run game, you know, they might line up in that shell and go, okay, here, Dallas, check to your run, and then pirate or move their defensive linemen, spill backers. So it's going to be a big deal for this Dallas Cowboys offense to be really, really efficient on first downs.
Yeah, look, we fortunate this early in the season to get a matchup of really good on good. When you get top-tier units offensively and defensively, especially with what they do. Look, the Carolina Panthers lives in pressure. They pressure 47% of the time. They lead the league in sacks with 14. Dak right now is – Think about this for a second. Dak right now is 40% completion of first downs against pressure. He's not just completing passes or getting the ball out of his hands. He's completing first downs when pressure comes. So to your point, Dio, something has to give.
Yeah.
And that's why this game is so exciting. When you look at this game from that standpoint, and then you start to think about where Carolina is from a defensive standpoint and how they get into offenses' heads and how Dallas has prepared and been able to do what they want to do. I want to see what unit makes the other unit respond to what they're doing. Because both of these units, Dallas's offense and the Carolina's defense, they are predicated on dictating what you want to do. The Dallas defense wants to dictate to the Carolina Panthers what defenses they want them to play, and vice versa with Carolina's defense. What type of game will it turn into early and often? And to that point, when you get the third down or early in downs, Dan, you talk about this all the time. It is so important for the Dallas Cowboys to have success on first down. You do not line up against the Carolina Panthers defense.
Right.
You do not line up against this defensive line in third and long and think you're going to have a successful game. That is not the formula for beating this football team. So I'm interested to see what Dallas' plan is. Last game, we saw him double-teaming and running Zeke and Tony Pollard. We saw Dak throwing on early downs, handling pressure, changing plays at the line of scrimmage. There will be disguise defensively from the Carolina Panthers. Y'all, I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm excited about Carolina's defense and this offense for the Cowboys.
Swaggo, since you and Dan didn't really leave me a whole lot of time left, I'm going to make sure that I don't get on the field. I'm going to go off the field and just talk about the importance of this game for the Dallas Cowboys. Sitting at 2-1, they can't afford to go 2-2, especially if they're trying to prove to us that they belong amongst the elite in the National Football League, sure, and let alone the NFC. Yeah, Carolina, they probably won't win the division. They probably squeak in the playoffs, possibly, depending on what happens to New Orleans in that situation. But the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
The money, the quarterback, everything, the big stadium, finally have arrived, a weak division. And then, yet still, you go out there and you lose to a team that you are favored to beat. We're going to say what, Dan? In Swaggoo on Monday.
They're still the Cowboys.
They're still the Cowboys.
Yeah.
That's important for Cowboy Nation.
That's a hell of a point.
You know, the thing is, guys, Key was lying about the time. We still have 30 more seconds. Let's see who wants to say something.
I'll say something.
Go ahead, Dan.
To Marcus's point, let me talk about the Panthers offense.
Yeah.
Against the Cowboys defense. This Cowboys defense that we've all started to rave about, justifiably so.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to get one of those offenses that's just going to line up and do what we do. Joe Brady.
They are without McCaffrey,
though. I was about
to
just say that.
They got guys still. Joe Brady is going to, like, I'm just telling you now, number 30 for Dallas, Anthony Brown, they're going to go after him.
Okay.
They're going to make these linebackers cover people in space and man coverage. This is not going to be an easy offense.
It's different without McCaffrey back there.
For sure.
All right, now we're out of time for real. It's time for one more thing before
Thanks,
we go.
Swaggoo.
And for this one, we're talking about LeSean McCoy. He's going to retire. The team announced on Friday, of course. You remember the amazing career that he had for the Eagles. Marcus, you played against him. What do you want to say about him?
Don't be surprised if y'all see him get a gold jacket. He was as dynamic with the ball in his hands as any offensive player I can remember playing against in my career. And I think about Shady with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think about the fear that he struck in defense, my defensive coordinator's faces in trying to stop this guy, not only out of the backfield, but catching the ball out of the backfield. He was a dual threat guy, 1-3 down. And had a wonderful career, man.
What are you guys doing?
He defied you. You're taught as a ball carrier never to do
the
this.
Worst he did all ball time. Carrier.
He never fumbled
in the history of the NFL.
All right, but
one of the greatest nicknames, Shady and Cut on a Dime.
6,792 rush yards, the Eagles franchise record for LeSean McCoy. Congratulations
on
your
Marcus.
Career. We'll see you tomorrow.